Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Joy of the Lord. And we're going to be talking tonight about the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear. And we have an awful lot of that seems to be happening right now in the world. There's a lot of fear that's going on. And I know that there seems to be a lot of reason for that to be happening now. There's so much that's going on. There's this COVID thing, and I don't know how many have noticed it. I've seen a lot of this talked about on the internet lately, and that is that the number of volcanoes that are erupting have increased like astronomically this year. There are three of them just in August of this year, and in the past there might have been maybe one to three per year. So, you know, that's really amazing, you know, how much is going on, and people are becoming concerned, and there's all these hurricanes are increasing and all this kind of thing. But, you know, in 1989, a company, a secular company, opened up that was called No Fear. And this was a secular company, as I said. And, you know, this was all about what they advocated was extreme sports, right? And you would see these shirts around all the time that said no fear on them. Now, this company has since gone out of business, right? But the big thing about them, it was this real in-your-face, no-fear thing. And they had this very secular view of not worrying about death, who cares, you know, and we don't care what happens to us, we're just going to go for it, right? Well, now you hear a sort of similar thing. It's this YOLO, right? You only live once type of view. And, you know, as Christians, we should very much have, you know, I mean, they really didn't have any reason to not fear death. You know, if anything, secular people who don't believe in God should be fearing death, but they just, you know, the reason that they don't fear it, I think, is because they don't have anything. They don't believe in an afterlife, really. They just think, well, once I die, I'm gone. Who cares? You know? Or some of them probably figure, oh, they're going to be reincarnated as who knows? You know, whatever. It's not a big deal to them. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in anything. Spirituality in a very real sense, you know, with real God, the Father, has gone by the wayside so much in the last 50 years, let's say, 40 to 50 years. But as Christians, or let's just say in the Christian world, if you truly believe in God and you truly have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you really should not fear. You shouldn't fear death. You shouldn't fear even the living. You shouldn't fear what's happening to us. And we're going to prove this today, and we're going to go into why we shouldn't fear. So let's just start out with 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that is the attitude that we should always have. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And those shirts, you know, that people wore at the time, that should be our attitude, you know, YOLO, that's us. We indeed only live once. We're the ones that truly believe that. It is us who believe that. You have all these people that believe that, oh, there might be reincarnation, you know, and this kind of thing, but we're the ones that really believe that there is nothing, that there comes nothing after our death. You know, so many people believe that, you know, they have no idea what comes, that we can't really believe this. But let me find this real quick. Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. For, you know, for these people that have this idea that there may be some sort of reincarnation, or perhaps there's something else that comes after death other than meeting God. Scripture is very, very clear about exactly what happens once we are gone from this world. There is nothing else except for to meet God and his judgment. So let's look tonight at exactly why we have no reason to fear, and exactly who is the one who gives us no reason to fear, and exactly what God has to say about this. So let's start out with Isaiah 40. Verses 29 through 31. And, you know, there are reasons not to fear, not only because of where we're going to be, but also while we're here on earth. So Isaiah 40, I had verse 29, but let's start in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. See, he is the one that will increase our strength. It doesn't come from us. It isn't anything that we do. And if you, as I remind us each week, if you listen to Carl on Sunday afternoons, he's doing a study right now on putting on God's armor rather than man's armor. And this is exactly what this is talking about here. Our strength comes from him, not from anything within us. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is so important. Those who wait on the Lord. When you go to God for your strength, when you ask him to strengthen you, when you ask him, when you wait on him, those who wait on the Lord. And again, how do we wait on the Lord? Remember, if we go back to James 1, verses 2 to 4, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. This is exactly what we're talking about here. You see, we go through these trials, and it produces this patience through our faith. It produces our patience so that we can wait on the Lord. This is all this cycle. See, this circle that he takes us through, he teaches us how to have this patience so that we can wait on the Lord. He teaches us how to do that through the trials that we go through. And we go through various trials. You see, it's not just one. He says when you fall into various trials, we go through one, and it boosts our faith, and it boosts this patience that we need in order to wait on the Lord. And then as that patience is boosted, as we come into further maturity, then we learn to wait on him. But then we will go through more trials, which will teach us more patience, more Christian maturity, so that we can wait on him even more. You see, it is not just one trial that we're going to go through. It's various trials. So if you go through one and then you say, I can't believe I'm going through the same thing again, or I can't believe I'm going through something else again, Lord, why? And you keep asking him why. Yes, that's okay. Ask him why. And you say, I can't believe that you're telling me it's okay to ask why. Of course it is. Verse 5 of James 1, right? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask God, why am I going through this? What is it you want me to learn, Lord? What is it that I'm supposed to learn? What are you trying to teach me? That is absolutely okay. Ask him what he wants you to learn. But verse 6, let him ask in faith with no doubting. So when you ask God what it is that he wants you to learn from it, expect an answer. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon him, and he will teach you. He will tell you, expect that answer. Truly expect that answer. Expect that he will tell you, that he will show you what you are supposed to be learning, and watch for that truth. Watch for that answer. And then when you get that answer, stand that you're accepting that lesson. You must accept that lesson and say, okay, Lord, yes. And then repent of whatever it is that you're doing wrong, and the Holy Spirit is going to help you through all of this, right? You go through repentance, and the Holy Spirit is the one that helps you through that, right? So this is not something that you do alone. This is God. It's the Holy Spirit. It is all of this working through you and in you. You cannot do this, right? Because he says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. These are not your wings. This is God, right? This is God boosting you up. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Not because it's anything in your strength. This is God strengthening you. Right? Verse 29, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. This is him in you. He works in you. All right. I've gone 15 minutes already, and we've only gone through one verse in only through one verse in here. All right. Verse 41:10 in Isaiah. We're still in Isaiah. Verse 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You see, he says, it's me. He says, I'm the one that's doing it. He's repeating himself saying, I'm the one that's going to strengthen you. Do not think that it's anything in you, all me. He says, rely on me. Don't try to do this in yourself. Because when you start to become proud and thinking that you're going to do it, that's when you fail. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, talking about those who come against you. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. When we begin to struggle and think that we're falling, well, it more than likely it's because you're not relying on him. You begin to take your eyes off God. And when you take your eyes off of him, that's when you fall. See, you stop looking to God. You take your eyes off Christ, right? Remember, you're supposed to take up your cross. Matthew 16. Let me just go there. Matthew 16. Let me find that. I know it's 16. Yes, 16 verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When we try to do things on our own and take our eyes off of Christ, then that's when we begin to fall. We lose everything in all of the confidence that we have in Christ. It becomes the confidence in ourselves. And when we have confidence in ourselves, then we literally have nothing. We have nothing. Confidence in self, that's putting on, just as Carl has been saying in his studies, that's putting on our own armor instead of God's armor. And when we do that, we lose everything. Let's go to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. This is one of David's Psalms, of course, and he says, be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. Does this sound familiar to any of you? Do you ever feel as if you just have, like, everything in the world is after you? You have people who are just coming after you. They are emotionally or verbally oppressing you. However, or maybe it's medical issues. Whatever it is, you just feel like you are falling down into a big pit. pit. But he has the answer in verse 3. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? In verse 5, he explains it again. He says, all day they twist my words. Do you ever feel that way? You say something and they just twist it and turn it into something you didn't even say. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather together. They hide. They mark my steps. When they lie in wait for my life, shall they escape by iniquity? In anger, cast down the peoples, O God. Right? You just feel like everything is against you sometimes, no matter what you do. He says, you number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. In God, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Have you not delivered my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? You see, no matter what happens, no matter what they say about us, no matter what they even say to our face, just think. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what you do. Nothing they say about us matters, right? Because we have the living God on our side. This world is not our home. This is nothing. It's temporary. It's temporary. We are here for really just a short time, and it may seem like a long time to us. We may be here for 60, 70, 80, 90 years. As I've said many times, my father is 93 years old and was just saved a few months ago. But we are here really such a short time when you compare it to eternity. Those people who mock us because of our Christianity or make comments about how we trust in the Lord or even those who maybe know God or say that they know God, but still can't understand how we have such strong faith, right? You know, maybe their faith isn't as strong as ours yet. And they can't understand why we believe the way we believe. You know what? So what? Right? And I understand that this is difficult, you know, for us to say, oh, so what? Yeah, it's difficult. But listen, we have him on our side. And as David says in the second part of verse 4 of Psalm 56, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Really, what can flesh do to me? Even if they kill us, what happens to us? Immediately, we go to be with God, right? We will see him. So what? What is the worst that can happen to us? The worst that can happen to us is that we go to be with God. Hallelujah. I mean, how wondrous would that be? I realize that you may feel like maybe you're just not ready yet, but that's up to him. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He says, "I've commanded you not to be afraid." Commanded you. He's with us wherever we go. Everywhere. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Because we have the mind of Christ, right? If we're saved, we have the mind of Christ. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And I know that in this time right now, many people are very concerned about these kind of things. I've heard Christians that are and don't think that I don't have some concern at times too, but you know, Christ says do not worry about these things. Look at, there are people in Afghanistan, Christians in Afghanistan, who are being slaughtered for their Christianity. And here we are thinking, well, you know, if I don't do this or if I don't do that, that I may suddenly not be able to get my Social Security check, or I may not be able to have any health insurance, or I may be out of a job, or you know what? Yeah, this might happen. They may be persecuting Christians here in the United States, which is where I am, or I don't know where you are. If you're listening, you may be in England, you may be anywhere else in Great Britain, you may be in Iran, you may be in South Africa. I don't know where you are. God bless you wherever you are. You know, I hope that if you're in Afghanistan and listening, that you're safe. I don't know, you know, maybe you're in China and listening, and you know, bless you if you're wherever you are, and I pray that you're safe and that you stay safe. But the plain facts are that as Christians, we are told that we will suffer persecution, that this will happen. And before you die, you may suffer persecution on a very small level, or it may be to the point of death. We don't know. But Christ says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Right? Worry does nothing for us. It doesn't help. It does nothing but actually injure us, right? There have been studies that have proven that worry actually can affect you medically. It can affect your body. It gnaws at your insides, right? It causes migraine headaches, and it can actually do injury to your body in many ways. So worry does not help you in the slightest. In fact, it can do the exact opposite. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, and he means the heathen, the unsaved, because as you'll see, as we get into the New Testament, he's talking about those who don't know God. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And here is what it gets down to, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is his righteousness? Faith in Christ. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And it is. Worrying about tomorrow, worrying about even later today, does nothing for you. Allow God to take care of you. Let me tell you that I have had I've had more trouble than trouble knows. But I want to tell you that at no time I've given everything over to God. And not once have I gone without a roof over my head. Not once have I gone without food or clothing. Not once. Not once. Now, have I come close to it? Care of me. Every single time. Somehow, he's come through to me. He's come through for me every time. Every time. He is the God of the impossible. He's the God of miracles. But when you doubt him, you walk away and you say, and remember, what does James 1 say? He says, verse 7, well, let's start back in verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let me tell you that the times when I came closest to being without, the times I came closest to not having, were when I began to doubt. And so that's how important it is that we don't doubt him. You know, I cannot stress enough how important it is that we realize that we cannot look down and away from Christ. I want to go to Matthew 14. And we're going to look at how Peter, thank you, Lord. I've mentioned this a few times, And I really want to look at this and see exactly what happened when Peter took his eyes off of Christ, right? And we're at the point where the disciples were out in the boat, right? And it says in verse 24 of Matthew 14, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And here's where the problem comes, you see. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." You see, this is the problem. Instead of looking at Jesus, he started to notice the winds around him. And this is what we often do. Instead of keeping our eyes on Christ, instead of having this belief that God will keep us, we start to pay attention to all the things going on around us. He saw that the wind was boisterous, and he became afraid. And that's when he began to sink. But the only thing that saved him was what? He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And what happened? Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. Why? Because he cried out to God and said, "Lord, save me." He caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." You see, this is our problem, is that we start to notice the things around us instead of keeping our eyes on Christ. We look at all the things, all the problems, all the issues of the day, and we begin to doubt. And when that happens, that's when we're taking our eyes off of him. It's when we begin to not follow what we were talking about earlier, about realizing that God is the one that strengthens us. He's the one that keeps us up. And that's what we need to constantly keep our minds on, that it's God. It's always God. There is no strength in ourselves. There's none whatsoever. We have no power, no strength, nothing except for what comes from God. In our own self, there's nothing. Let's go to John 14, 26 and 27. Christ said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Holy Spirit is the one that reminds us constantly. And he is the one that gives us this help. He's the one that gives us this peace. He is the one that keeps us constantly now. And it is Christ, it is God through the Holy Spirit that works in us every day. It is always Him. It is always God working in us. But we must keep our eyes on Him in order for Him to constantly be working in us. All right, let's go to Psalm 27. Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Verse 13 and 14 in that same chapter. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Remember, it's always waiting on Him. It's waiting on Him. When we believe that somehow He has forsaken us, we must continue to wait because He never leaves us. He never leaves us. He's always there with us. And when we begin to doubt, we need to just continue to wait on Him. It is that patience that we get through those trials that we go through, as we mentioned in James 1, 2 through 4. We acquire that patience more and more through the trials that we go through. Luke 12, 16, beginning in 16. Then He spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, about what you will eat, nor about the body what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? You see, we constantly are concerned about storing things away. We're out there trying to take this and that and everything else and buy, because we're trying to fill ourselves with so many things. We want to make sure that we have all these extra things put aside, and I see this all the time on all these different movements. You know, let's make sure that you have enough food put aside just in case you run out. And you see all these people going out and buying roomfuls of toilet paper four cases of canned goods and, you know, all these kind of things. And let me tell you something, I used to do this same kind of thing. I used to be worried to make sure, listen, are we going to have enough? Is there going to be enough food in case, you know, people start going out and buying out the store? And what if there isn't enough? And what if the trucks stop running and this, that, and whatever. You know what? Who cares? I mean, really? What if they do? What if I'm on disability because of a medical issue? Not that it's not that that matters, but it just goes because, you know, listen, what if all of a sudden they say, listen, we're not, if you're Christian or if you're this, that, or whatever, you will no longer get any money from the government. Okay, well, then, you know what, I guess that I no longer get any money from the government. I mean, you know, if that's what happens, then I can't panic over it. You know, we can't go into such a mode that we worry about what if, what if, what if, what if. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. You know, I mean, it's, we can't worry about these things. If we do, we'll spend nothing but our time in worry and in fear. This is not what he wants us here on earth doing. What he wants us here doing is reaching out to others, to other Christians, and discipling them. He wants us reaching out to the unsaved and sharing the gospel. If we worry about what we're going to be doing for the next year, we won't be spending our time doing the Lord's work. And that's where we have to be. In Luke 12:34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where is your treasure? Verse 31, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. What is it that you're seeking? Are you seeking the kingdom of God, or are you seeking the kingdom of man? It's so important that we constantly seek God's kingdom rather than man's kingdom. When we begin to constantly seek after the things of this world, then we're lost. And I don't mean that we are immediately lost as far as losing our salvation, but we can come to that if we are constantly having our hearts and our minds on the flesh, on the things of this world. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. He calls you by your name because he loves you. He cares for you, and he calls you by your name. He knows you. He knows who you are personally. You know, it's not just about him realizing that you're saved and kind of knows that, yes, there are all these people out on the earth that are saved, but he knows you personally. Psalm 55:22, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. He is with you no matter what you do, no matter where you go. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. And where is our righteousness? Our righteousness is in him. Our righteousness is in him alone. We have no righteousness in ourselves. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have to remember that there's nothing around us, nothing that we can look at that we can depend on. Our faith is only in God. And when we begin to have people that try to pull us away into things of this world, we have to ignore those things around us and say, listen, no, it's about God. It's about those things which we really may not be able to see on earth, but it's our faith. It's our faith in Him and Him alone. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, when we begin to have that fear, that worry, that, you know, that concern that gets inside of our minds, you know, those everyday problems that fuss and, you know, those things happen to us all the time, and we know that those happen to us. But when those things start to come about us, these two verses tell us exactly what to do. When we become anxious, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Go to Him with thanks. Start to talk to Him and thank Him for all the blessings you have. Because as soon as you start naming off blessings, just one by one by one, start with one. Lord, just thank you for waking me up today. Thank you for my daughter. Thank you for my son. Thank you for the roof over my head, Lord. Thank you for putting food on my table today. Thank you that I have clothing to wear. Just as you begin to just name them one at a time. Start with the small ones. And before you know it, you're coming up with more and more and more. Thank you that I have a car to drive. Thank you that I have a job. Thank you that, and they start to roll off your tongue. And before you know it, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's amazing what will happen when you begin to thank Him and praise His name. It starts small. It's a little at a time, but all of a sudden you find yourself bursting out with joy at everything that He does for you. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful. You see, through that thankfulness, we get the peace of God, which does surpass all understanding. But it comes because of thankfulness, because of gratefulness. When we begin to commune with God and praise Him, then we find that we get this peace. And it is amazing. It is wondrous, and it does surpass all understanding. It's something that we cannot understand in our own flesh. It's impossible to understand. But in the Spirit of God, then we can understand it. Isaiah 26. Verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, on God, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength is in Him. It's in him and only in him. We cannot have that strength in anyone but in God. It comes completely from him and no one else. Let me go to Hebrews again here. Hebrews 13, excuse me, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Indeed, what can man do to me? What can he do to us? He is powerless against us, isn't he? Man truly is powerless against us when we really consider man and we consider God. God is all powerful. And man is paired to God. Jeremiah 29:11 through 13. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. When you search for me with all your heart. You see how important that is, though, to him. He mentions this so much, how important it is that we keep our eyes on him, that we seek him diligently, that he wants to be important to us. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He wants us to trust him with all of our heart, not to lean on our understanding, but on his, and to acknowledge him in all of our ways. We are to completely lean on him. He says, and then he will direct our paths. He wants us to 100% believe in him, acknowledge him, love him. We are to understand that he is everything to us. And only when we can understand that and count on him completely, that's when fear leaves us, because it's all about him, counting on him, and it's his armor that we put on, not our own. Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18. Inasmuch then as the children, we're talking the children of Israel, who we now are, right? We are spiritual Israel, have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise, Christ, shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. That's us. We are the seed of Abraham by virtue of the fact that we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. He completely understands everything that we go through, everything. So knowing that he completely understands us, we should understand that he is so merciful to us and that we should be able to lean completely on him. We can give our burdens over to him, because he loves us so much that he gave himself for us. He gave himself for us in a way that we would never do for anyone else. Go to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. And we're going to verse 12. Right, yes, 12. 12 through 17. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. You are blessed. Even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you're blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Yes, we will be persecuted on this earth. We will be. It's going to happen because Christ has said so. Christ has said that we will suffer as Christians. Verse 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. If Christ suffered, how much more might we? But we know that even though we may suffer for him, for his name, we have a resurrection into eternity with Christ. How joyous should that make us? We have an eternity with God, an eternity with Christ, an eternity with the Father, which is something that no one who, all those who do not have Christ cannot possibly understand. The day of judgment suddenly will come, and they will see that and wish that they had listened. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. He will destroy the house of the proud. And that's exactly what is going to happen on that final day of judgment. Proverbs 12:25. And I want people who have really had difficulty with anxiety, with depression, and those who have sometimes, I know that there are people within the churches who will tell you, you know, that there is no such thing as anxiety or depression or anything like that, that is, that if you have anything like that, that it is always demonic, and that there is no such thing as any sort of medical reason for depression, and that if you have these kind of problems, that that there's something wrong with you spiritually, all right? But let's see what Scripture has to say about it. And I want to tell you that if you, in particular, are telling someone that they are, that it's their fault, okay, that the Bible has something to say to you as well, okay? So let's go to Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. See, when someone has anxiety, you know, it causes depression issues. And yes, we can have less anxiety when we're closer to God, certainly. And yes, there are medical issues that cause anxiety as well. But what does it say? It says a good word makes it glad. So if you are going to someone who has issues with anxiety or depression, instead of telling them, well, you know, you're the problem and it's, you know, you just need to get right with God or this or that. Instead, how about giving them a good word? Because that's what Proverbs 12:25 says. A good word makes it glad. So try to lift people up rather than telling them that they are the problem or that they need to just be a better person or this kind of thing. Give them a good word and try to give them psalms, right? This is a really a good way to do it, is to speak psalms to them and speak good Bible verses to them that will uplift them. There are plenty of Bible verses that we gave today that are very, very helpful. I would encourage you to give uplifting Bible verses to them, not those that might say, oh, you know, that, you know, this is because you just aren't doing well enough with the Lord, but try to lift them up. And I would encourage you to do that and try to help them through those kind of things. And I think that you'll feel better about doing that, and so will they. So let's go to Psalm 94:19. Psalm 94:19, and we talked about the Psalms being uplifting. Psalm 94:19 says, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. So in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. So God's comforts does delight my soul. Exactly. The Scripture is delightful when we have anxieties. So if you know someone that is going through some problems, they're going through some depression, they're going through anxieties, maybe they're having problems with who knows what, you know, family issues or whatever, or work issues or whatever their problems are that they're going through, maybe just sit and have a Bible study with them. Maybe you can spend some time with them in the Word. And because it says, your comforts delight my soul. Spend some time with them in the Word. Bring them to church if that would be a good thing for you. Bring them to a Bible study that maybe you attend. Find a way to spend time with them in the Lord. And I really believe that that will be a comfort to their soul. All right, Psalm 34. Let's go to Psalm 34. And as you've seen, there have been a lot of things here. If they're a believer, then I believe a lot of the verses that we've gone through today definitely would be helpful, right? Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. How, if you share something like this, would it not be helpful? Verse 6, the poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. If you were having a bad day, wouldn't you love to hear that? That the angel of the Lord is encamping all around you and that he will deliver you. Hallelujah. How wonderful is that? Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Hallelujah. See, these verses are uplifting for anyone who's dealing with fear, anxiety, depression. Verse 17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. These are the type of verses that I go to when my spirit feels low, when it feels a bit broken. I go to these verses and they make me feel more blessed. They uplift me, right? Verse 21, I'm still in Psalm 34. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Hallelujah. These are the kind of things that we need to hear when we are having a bad day, when we're feeling down, when we feel as if people are just surrounding us with contempt and with judgment. We need to know that we can come to verses like this and say, yes, Lord, I know that you are there for me. Psalm 35, verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord. This is like a prayer, right? Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Also, draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those be put to shame and brought to dishonor who seek after my life. You see, we can take these and we can plead with the Lord and say, Lord, this is in your word, and I believe that because it's in your word, I can trust in this. I know, Lord, that you love me and that you are here for me and that you put these in here for a reason. You are my redeemer. You love me, Lord. And you put these verses here to lift me up when I'm anxious, when I'm fearful, when I feel as if I've nowhere to go. This is where I go. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Yes, Christ has overcome the world, and he is continually overcoming for us. He continues to overcome the world for us, in us, through the Holy Spirit. And the way he does it is by using us to give the gospel to those who are lost and dying, right? We are here for a purpose, and God is using each and every one of us. And we know this because he has saved us. And you may not understand it completely today. I tell you that you have a gift. You have a gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. And that gift is for the kingdom of God. It is. It is so that you can reach out to unbelievers. It's so that you can edify the body of Christ. It's so that you can help bring others into the kingdom of God. He wants to use you. And he cannot use you if you're constantly downcast, downtrodden, not looking to him. We must constantly be looking into his word and asking him, Lord, what would you have me do today? Every single day, we must be asking, Lord, what would you have me do today? And this doesn't mean that every single day we're out on street corners preaching the word. Today might be the day that you're reading his word and preparing. Today might be the day that you're in prayer all day long, because that's what you need to be doing. Tomorrow might be the day that you're calling a friend who does not know him and saying, let's get together for lunch on Friday. Let's just get together. And maybe that Friday, you're just going to talk a little bit about what God has done for you and share the gospel. You may not be able to share the entire gospel with them that much. Maybe they're not going to be open completely. But the more you understand, the more you get into the gospel, the more uplifted you are, the less fearful you are, the more you can share the gospel with people that you know. Isaiah 40:28-31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord. This is where we started. The creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Remember, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's only through him. There's a psalm I want to go back to. It's Psalm 4:8. Psalm 4. I have to tell you something here. Psalm 4, verse 8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. Real quick here. When I read this earlier today, it reminded me of something. I don't really know why, but for some reason it just did. The Holy Spirit brought this to my mind. I had a deathly fear of tornadoes my entire life. And about, well, let's see, it was in 2006. The Lord moved me into a mobile home park where there was no shelter. There was no shelter. If a tornado came through, bad weather came through, you were just stuck. I mean, there was nowhere to go. A perfect place for someone who had a deathly fear of tornadoes, right? I did not realize this until after I moved in there. I did not know that there was no shelter house. There was no place to go, right? And so the very first time that there was a tornado warning, I went down to the shelter house and I said, where do we go? And they said, well, not here. We don't have a place for you. And so I went back home with the kids, back to my mobile home. And my kids, of course, you know, had also been raised sort of with my sort of, well, you go straight down to the basement and, you know. So they said, what do we do, Mom? I said, well, we sit here and we pray. We sit here and we pray. And so that's what I did. You know, I sat there and I prayed. And I said, that's all we can do. And that is where I learned to get rid of that fear. And it was at that point in time that I really, really learned, or began to learn, to really have so much trust in him. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. And that's exactly what I did. It was very late at night. And I told my children, I said, do not worry. God has us. I said, I believe that. I believe that. And I did. I believed that. And he gave me that peace. And I lied down and went to sleep in the middle of a tornado warning. And because I was able to do so, my children were able to do so as well. We laid down and we went to sleep, and I don't remember if it was, I don't think it was that time, but there was another time that a tornado went through that same area where I lived, and it took out, maybe about 5 miles, I want to say, away from me. It took out a very large area, a school and several other buildings, and it was pretty bad. And yeah, we could have been hit, you know, because that tornado went through and whatnot. But we had put our faith in the Lord. And even where it went through, as far as I know, I don't believe anyone was there were no deaths from it, you know. But ever since then, my fear of tornadoes is gone. I just don't have anything like that any longer. He took that away from me that day. It was simply a, you know what, you're going to have to learn simply to depend on me. Just depend on me. Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's exactly what it is. Peace. It is that peace that passes all understanding. It's that peace that we can only get from trusting completely in Him. It does surpass all understanding. We can't really have any, we don't understand exactly how we get that. We don't understand how He can give us such perfect peace. But He gives it to us. The Holy Spirit gives it to us. We cannot get it on our own through anything that we do. It is 100% from the Holy Spirit. And when we have that perfect peace, then we know that it is takes away all that fear that we had. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing us exactly how we can have peace, how you can take away the fear in our lives, how your Holy Spirit can eliminate all fear if we just trust in you, if we trust only in you, Lord. There is no other way for us to have that peace except for through you, by waiting on you. We love you, Lord, and we just ask you to show us, even through those trials, through everything that we go through, how to obtain all the peace that you can give. In Christ's name. Amen.